From the Thinking Out Loud studios, it's the Thinking Out Loud podcast with Kevin and Kyle, the podcast that exists to help you navigate the culture of today from a biblical perspective.
And to help you grow in your relationship with God.
God has commissioned and called you to be a light in this culture. The only way you can do that is to know the truth.
No matter what circumstance you're facing, no matter what season of life that you're in, if you truly want to find success in that season,
you are going to have to go back to the simple question of, what does God say about me in this moment?
There's no shortage of information in this culture, but there is a shortage of truth.
Welcome back to the Thinking Out Loud podcast. My name is Kevin Wilson.
And I'm Kyle, and we're excited to have you guys back on today.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, oh, what a week it's been. What a week it's been. Both Kyle and I need a vacation, I'll tell you. But I think Kyle's got one lined up. Me, on the other hand,
needs to get one lined up.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, my goodness. But I think we will. We're excited.
Kim, if you're listening, book it now.
That's right. That's right. That means she, yeah. No, that's good. No, we're gonna have to take some time, but you'll still hear shows come out, guys. Don't get nervous. But yeah, I will take some time of rest. You know, as you guys know, we just launched another podcast, and it's a lot of work behind the scenes. It's not like you just get on the mic and start talking and everyone gets to hear it. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So there's a lot of moving parts behind the scene. And, you know, it, those of you who have not listened to the show yet, it's called Off the Record Podcast. It's a fun show. I know a lot of times we talk about really serious things here, but that show is a show for you to take a break from the serious things. And so this show comes out every other Wednesday. That show comes out also every other Wednesday. So whatever Wednesday that this show doesn't air, that show airs. And so you get a chance to get something from our network every single week. And so go ahead and go, you know, find us there. We're on all the places. So all the places that you would be able to listen to this podcast, you can listen to that podcast. It's four of us on there, and it's crazy shenanigans. I promise you will laugh your way through pretty much the entire episode. It is wild. And we've got one of the people on there is Kyle's brother, Cody, and he's pretty funny. So you know, we enjoy that. So that's what behind the scenes we've been working on a lot of that stuff. And we have I'm working on a new website that's going to be coming out. We've got there's a lot of things coming up. So just want you guys to know that we are hard at work behind the scenes, working on things, making sure that things are good for you, and that you have some resources, and that you have other shows that you guys can listen to from our network. And so that's important to us. And like I say, we've gotten a lot of good feedback. I mean, truly, I've been very surprised at the feedback that we've received from this other show. And so, again, it's Off the Record. You know, go find it. Now, there is a few Off the Record podcasts out there. So you're going to have to look for ours. If you look, you know, there's a couple of episodes ago, it just says Big News. And that episode has a link to the new show in Apple Podcasts. But you're looking for the podcast art. It's kind of a blue background, a blue brick black back. It's a blue. It's a blue brick background.
Goodness, man.
I know, right? Oh, and then there's a microphone in the middle, and there's like the four of us. So there's two of us on either side of the microphone, because there's another podcast out there that's Off the Record, and it has four faces on it. You might think that's ours, but you 5 minutes into the episode, you'll realize it's not. Yeah. And they have explicit. Theirs is explicit. So ours is not. It's just a fun way to just to, you know, if you're going on a date, or you are on a jog, or you're on a family ride to vacation or something like that, and you just want to have some fun and laugh, it is a fantastic way to either start your day or do some fun things. So anyway, I just wanted you guys to know that that show is out. So please go listen to it, support it, rate it, review it, all the things. And of course, on this show, 248-301-2010, if you've got any topic suggestions, questions, feedback, anything like that, we love that. And so let us know what you have. And then don't forget to rate and review this show. Give us 5 stars, all the good stuff. So last time we were here, we talked to one of the cast members of the wildly popular Amazon documentary, Shiny Happy People. And this is the documentary that really covers the theology of the Duggars, which the Duggars, if you guys have been living under a rock for the last, I don't know, 10 years, if you haven't, you've heard of them, and you've heard of the show 19 Kids and Counting. That was a show that was on TLC, and it followed this fundamentalist independent Baptist family, very conservative family, you know, and you know, the girls all wear dresses and the guys are always dressed nice and, you know, all of that. They have a lot of very strict rules, no television and just a lot of things. And that show became wildly popular. It literally pretty much put TLC on the map, where people started actually watching TLC shows. And but there was a dark underbelly about that family and its, and I won't say necessarily about the family, but it was about what the theology that the family followed. And this was Bill Gothard that you heard in the last episode. And if you have not heard the last episode, you need to listen to that, because Emily's story is absolutely, it's crazy, and it's something that you need to be aware of. And, you know, but she was a victim of this cult, and we just kind of wanted to give our thoughts and our response to the docu-series. And from a couple of different angles. One of them is from a theological angle, and kind of break down what they believe, and then use scripture to help you to understand how that their theology is in error. So so I just want to make sure that we do that. And I know Kyle is going to talk a little bit, you know, about just abuse in the church, some of the scandals that we've seen. I mean, you think about Hillsong and Carl Lentz and some of the things with him. We think about Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill. You know, it just, there's, I mean, my goodness, the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast. Wow. One of the best produced podcasts that I've heard. Don't agree with everything. I think there's some, you know, but it really did expose a lot of the things that was going on in the background at Mars Hill, which now Mark Driscoll is at a new church in Phoenix, and there's allegations that the same type of abuse is happening. So we've got that. And then you think about, you know, Brian Houston with Hillsong, James McDonald, you know, with Harvest Church, that he was very, very popular. And, you know, James McDonald and Mark Driscoll, all of them, these were people, they ran in the same circles. They are friends. But James McDonald got sat down because of his abuse, his verbal abuse, and just, you know, some financial indiscretions and some things. I mean, just crazy. He just recently, and these are large churches. These are not mom and pop storefront churches. These are 5, 10, 15, 20,000 member churches that these people are presiding over. And, you know, a lot of times when people see that, they go, well, that's, you know, like, wow, you know, they got that many people going there. They must be doing something right. Like, wow, that's, you know, but guys, remember, you can't get like that when you see that. We are consumers, right? If we see a bunch of cars in the parking lot, we tend to go, hey, what's going on over there, right? If somebody is a good orator or they speak well, we tend to flock to that. We're consumers. And unfortunately, that has crept into the church. And now we tend to flock to churches that's trendy. Not because the theology is right, not because, you know, other things are in order, but it's because it's the trend. It's the trendy thing to do, right? So,
yeah, and you—I mean, you hit it on the head. You said the word expose. I mean, if you think about just the last decade in our society, exposure would be our theme word, whether it's over racial inequality, inequality in general, corruption with organizations, certain agendas. We're all about exposing fake. We're all about exposing wrong, and which is great. I think things need to be exposed. The church world has followed suit with that. Things like Netflix and Amazon, they've followed suit as well. I would say where we see church media coming out and exposing things, it's more of a correction standpoint. You see like Netflix or Amazon, I think it's more of an attack. Either way, it all needs to be exposed. The problem is, so society will expose things that aren't right. And then when the church exposes things that aren't right, and you're talking about emotional manipulation, you're talking about physical and emotional abuse inside the church, right? And that's a sarcastic, that's not a laugh like it's funny. That's crazy. It's wow, that's happening inside the church. When you think about that, you say, okay, these behavioral patterns, sinful and illegal, need to be exposed. But what we're going to talk about today is, but what happens is two things happen. It leaves the church world reeling. Okay, so what is actually legit? Because I've been told this thing my whole life. So when we talk about the Duggars and the shiny, happy people, we're going to talk about kids who were raised from family of origin to believe things a certain way, which is emotional manipulation. You are going to be guilt-tripped into believing what I want so I can get, again, consumer, out of you what I need to get out of you. So we're going to talk about that today. So you're going to have some of you listening are going to go, wow, I'm still reeling from coming out of legalism, and I'm still reeling from coming out of some cultish things. Never really gotten the answer to those. Well, hopefully we help answer some of that today. But then there's a second group of people who they don't go to church. They don't believe in Jesus. And maybe you're listening today and you go, I've only been pushed further away from the church because of churches like Hillsong or Mars Hill or Harvest or a local church that didn't hit news base, but the pastor had a moral and sinful failure. So how do we address all of those? And one, let's shed some light on some real theology. But then two, let's shed some light on pastors are going to make mistakes. People hurt people. The church is still God's. And how do we align that with those who don't believe and want every reason not to believe?
Right, right. And I think it through all, you know, through some of these, I can't say through all, because I don't think there's much problematic as far as theology at Harvest with James McDonald, but
more behavioral.
Yeah, more behavioral. But when you look at the Duggars and what their theology was, you know, you look at some of the scan, you know, some of the Hillsong theology, the kind of the prosperity, health, wealth, gospel kind of things. I mean, you know, that is just the disastrous theology. And I've promised you, and I will tell you, we will dig into that theology at some point on this show and really help you to understand that all the things behind that. It's wild.
We'll just call it flipping tables with Jesus. And just with the yeah. moment you begin to market your church in a way that it's only consumer friendly, you're going to have someone come in and start flipping some tables.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And really, guys, we're the table flippers. Like, we are the people who should be exposing these things.
Yep. Right. Which exposure is good. You know, it's good. But the backside of it, there has to be cleanup, because there's disaster on the backside of exposure. And God's a God of order. He's a God of order. And so if we are going to be Christ-like and expose things, then we have to move in order. And we have to make sure that the same God who's a God of restoration, that people experience that as well on the backside of exposure.
Right. And some of what, you know, something that Emily said on the last show, and I think it was really good, is she said, you know, a lot of times we don't want these things that we see that are wrong in our churches to come to light because we feel like, you know, it'll drag God's name through the mud. And, you know, and what, you know, what she said, and it's just profound. It's so true. She said, you know, God will take care of himself. Like, we don't need to try to help God about his reputation. Like, you know, God, believe me, he will be exalted. He will be praised. He will be the preeminent one. Like, right? The Bible says, like, if if we don't praise him, if we're not worshiping, we're not putting him where he's supposed to be, the rocks will cry out, right? This is you. You will never dethrone God. I don't care what humans do. It'll never happen. And so God will always be in his rightful place. But as Christians, we have the responsibility to make sure that we're exposing evil, bring light to darkness, even if it's the darkness of our pastor or a deacon or a trustee or an elder or a whatever. That's what we're supposed to do. And so, but I want to just kind of break down, because you might be like, oh yeah, you know, I watch TLC, I watch the Duggars, but I'm not really sure some of the things that they believe, and I'm not going to go through everything that they believe, but I do want to just highlight some things that were kind of big on the show and kind of set them apart from a lot of different people. And so they had an interesting take on courtship and relationships. And so they are really big, and they believe that a person should not date, that a person should court. Now, do I completely disagree with that? No, I don't completely disagree with that. But, and so if you don't understand what courting is versus dating, you know, dating in regular secular society is, you know, you get with somebody that you think that you like, you go on some dates, you know, a lot, you know, and sometimes it turns into a romantic thing, like in the sense of, you know, like, hey, you know, I really like this person. I really think this could go somewhere, you know, and you just kind of, and if it doesn't work out with that person, you know, eventually you go to the next person and then the next person, you know, whatever, until you find this person that you're supposed to be with. Well, in courtship's different. And so you go into the dating relationship, if you will, with a totally different mindset. Is I am not going to talk to somebody unless I really look at this as this could be my potential husband or wife. Right? Which I think our mindset should always be to not, you know, people are not cars, you know, you don't test drive people, right? You develop relationships with people, and and if those relationships turn into something more and you see that both of you guys are compatible and a good fit, and you know, both people are serving Jesus and putting him first, and you're like, man, you know, this, I could see this really going somewhere, then yes, that this is what we do. I think in extreme courtship cases, it's dangerous, because what could happen is you look at this person and it's you automatically are going, okay, they're my husband. This is my wife. I feel like that I can't break this off, because, you know, is my intentions right? Was I just trying to fulfill a gap here in my heart? You know, I don't want to use this person, so I'm just going to try to make it work no matter what. And sometimes you just don't need to make it work, because you're just not compatible. It's not going to work. The red flags that you see, yeah, they're red flags. Like, they're not good. You know, you maybe shouldn't date that person, right? And it's okay. You're going to date somebody and you're going to be like, okay, this is not work out, where I see that, where this could be a huge problem. Yeah, I probably need to call this off. Right. And so I don't totally disagree with it, but I think you have to do it very in balance. Now, I think this became really popular when Josh Harris wrote the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. He has since renounced that book, but also renounced the faith as well. He's deconstructed completely.
It's always bad when you have to like renounce a book you wrote and sold to millions of people. Like, by the way, everything I wrote in that book is not true. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a struggle. But then another thing that the Duggars that they have is they believe is the quiver full theology. Oh,
yes, they do.
Hence the reason why it's 19 kids and counting.
That man's quiver is full.
Yeah. And so basically, and I want to read the scripture where they get this from, but the quiver full theology basically just says, listen, you should have children for as long as the Lord allows you to have children, as long as, you know, you are having intimate relationships with your spouse and it, you know, without any protection, without anything. If, you know, a child is produced by that, I don't care. You can have 40 children. If that's what God gives you, then that's what you do, right? But it's an extreme take on a scripture that is supposed to help you to understand what a blessing children are, no matter how many you have, not that you're supposed to have, you know, 20 children. And it's okay. I mean, if you truly, in correct theology, want to have 20 kids, man, more power to you. Like, that's, there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself, right? But not when you're stretching the scripture. So where they get this from is Psalms 127, verse 4 through 5. And verse 4 says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. I don't know about the contending with people in court, but what we see here, though, is, you know, children are a blessing from the Lord. That's you know, and I would say this combats, because see, I feel like society has went on way totally on the other end, where it's like, well, I don't want to have kids, because kids is going to ruin my life for 18 years, and kids are going to be an inconvenience, and I'm not going to be able to do everything that I want to do, and I, you know, I'm stuck, and all of the, like, that is selfishness. And you know, saying, well, but I'm only going to have one kid because, you know, I want to be able to buy the boat, and I want to be able to have the big house and the car and this. And if I have kids, they're going to be expensive, and I'm going to be able to have as much money to get my toys and all of this kind of stuff. See, that is selfishness. And this is where that scripture comes in and could actually be a help to you to say, listen, you know what? It's a blessing to have children, right? It's a blessing if you had a lot of children. What the Bible doesn't do is command that you, one, have children at all, or command that you have tons of kids without any restraint or any thought for their financial well-being, your financial well-being, your lifestyle, and how much you can actually be there for your children if you have that many and you have to work so much, right? That also is not what the Bible is saying. So I think the quiverful mentality is in their, you know, what they believe is wild. And this is coming from a guy who never had children himself, Bill Gothard, who is the leader of all of these principles. He never had kids himself. He was never married, but yet he's telling all of these people what they should do.
Yeah. I think it's important that you recognize, and you called it out, there's principles, there's commands, and it's important to recognize context of the time that was said, why it was being said, the point, what does the author want to get across to the warrior as it's being said? And so you got to think context of a warrior with arrows. There's nothing like walking out into a field and not having part of your weapon with you. And so to have a surplus of it is more than a blessing. And so, yeah, I don't think it meant, why don't you have 20 kids? Because is it a blessing to continue to provide something that you can't provide for? I wouldn't think that would continue to be a blessing, just logically thinking. If I had 20 kids, I'm going to need a GoFundMe page. I'm going to need like 9 of them. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just not the way that you would be called to shepherd your home. So that theology alone doesn't stand, because it doesn't stand for every family.
Right. And we have to understand too, I mean, the Duggars, you know, being on a TV show like that, they're raking in tons of money, right? And so, you know, you see them with that, you know, 17,000 square foot home or whatever it is that they had to have all these children. And I understand they didn't start off that way, but you have to understand TLC paid for a lot of those renovations and things like that to be completed on their home. They would have never been able to do that on their own, you know? So yes, were they able to do that? Sure, right? Because they had the money to do it. But most people just don't have the capital to raise 19 children, even if they wanted to. And so, you know, I think reason, you know, the Bible wants us to be reasonable. I also understand if there is a thought about contraceptives. And yes, I think there are some contraceptives that are problematic from a Christian standpoint, but then there's other ones that are totally fine, right? You know, and I know people talk about, you know, the scripture where, and I should have got it before we came on the air, but where it talks about, you know, the young man's seed falling to the ground. And it's basically saying, you know, you shouldn't waste your seed as a man. You shouldn't waste your seed. But that's not the scripture. That's not what the scripture is saying in, you know, for everyone in that context. That's not what that scripture is saying. And so I think we just have to use common sense. God has given us common sense. Like that, just use your noggin, right? Anyways, but that's why we give the scripture, because I think that's really important. But then also modesty and dress code, right? They are all wearing dresses. They believe that women shouldn't wear pants. They should wear skirts, you know, and that's, I grew up that way. So I understand that, but I also understand, you know, you're at Cedar Point, or you're doing, you know, you're at a place, and you know, your kids, your young ladies are wearing dresses, and it's like, well, they're a little bit more indecent by wearing a dress on a ride than they are if they would just wear pants and be appropriate. Like it's, you know, they're out there trying to, you know, help build homes and do all this stuff in a dress. Like that's just not a thing. And I mean, if you guys want to look back at our sanctification series, I want to say it's a 6-part series on sanctification where I break all of this stuff down and all the scriptures down. So if you are in any kind of church like this, where they're saying that women should be wearing skirts and they can't wear pants and women can't cut their hair, all these things, please, please go back and listen to that 6-part series, because it breaks all of that stuff down and what the Bible actually says. And so they talk a little bit about that, but they also, another one is the gender roles. Now, this is a big one, right? Because they believe, you know, Bill Gothard taught that the oldest male that's in the room, no matter, you know, what age it is, the oldest male in the room is always the one in charge.
Man, sometimes the oldest male isn't even in charge of his own mind. Like, but you want him to be in charge of me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, men's, you know, I mean, it's just, and I know women all over America will clap at this and the world, but men, you know, their brains, they just develop slower than women tend to be. They just do. It's a proven fact. You know, women a lot of times they mature a lot faster, right? And so, I mean, you know, go ahead. Let the male, the oldest male in the room, make all the decisions.
Well, by that time, you should be fully mature then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm kind of making a little lighthearted joke about it, but truly, this is what they believe, right? And it's problematic, and you understand why abuse and things like this starts to happen, because the oldest male in the room might be a pedophile. The oldest male in the room might be a molester. The oldest male in the room might be whatever name your indiscretion this person could be involved in. This oldest male in the room could be addicted to child pornography or some other kind of pornography, right? But no, we've got to listen to him, because we've got to listen to him.
I apologize, guys.
Kyle. You know what?
I'm being goofy with Kevin. My bad.
Oh, I really want to tell you what Kyle just, what Kyle
should I just say it that way they can be mad at me?
Yes. You
just... All right. He just referencing the old men in the room and how we don't trust the oldest man in the room. And I just put a note up to the screen and said, he kept saying the old man could be this, the old man could be that. And I said, the old man could be Joe Biden. And we all know that he hasn't been able to put a straight sentence together, so don't hate me for it.
Right, yeah. See, that's for other show.
That's for the off the record. That's why I did it off the record. You brought it on the record. I
well, yeah, he got me off my game there, folks. Anyways,
sorry guys. Sorry.
Oh man, but anyways, the oldest man in the room could, you know, he could be in any of these type of lifestyles, right? And so if everybody is supposed to listen to him, irregardless of what he's dealing with and what, you know, that obviously is going to be an open door for abuse. And so what I want to do is I want to read the scripture that, the you know, and this is talking about biblical headship, right? And so it's Ephesians 5, 22 through 30. And it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And I want to pause there. I'm going to, at some point, we're going to delve into that scripture so that people understand. I know this is a very controversial scripture in the Bible. It doesn't need to be. I would love to break this scripture down and talk about it at some point in the future. And just marriage and relationships in general. But we'll do that. But verse 22 says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, sounds scary, right? Not really, but, you know, it sounds, people are like, oh, I got to submit to my husband. Oh. But here's the kicker. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a glorious church without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Indeed, no one ever hated his own body, but he nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. So as I said this on the last episode, when the Bible talks about women submitting to their husband or headship within the home or headship within the church, the Bible is assuming, one, that you know the whole of Scripture and you take the Bible in its entirety. And also, it is also assuming that the husband that is quote unquote over or you know, the wife is the person the wife's submitting to has submitted himself to Christ. He is not a pedophile. He is not a child molester. He is not addicted to child pornography or other pornography. He's not abusing his wife verbally or physically or sexually or his children or somebody else's children, right? The Bible is not saying submit yourself to a man. The Bible says it should be different. If it said women, submit yourself to men. It does not say that.
I love that you say that, because if you rephrase it, wives submit your, not rephrase, if you just reread it, this is what it literally says, NIV version, wives submit yourselves to your own husbands. So that already takes the oldest man out of the room. There's men I know that I would never tell my wife to follow in a room, like in a decision, in like, nope, you're not following him, your own husband. And again, yeah, biblically speaking, and the Bible covers what happens if your husband isn't in line with God, because the verse doesn't say you have to agree with your husband, right? It doesn't say that, but it does say that your submission to God, though, living a godly life, would witness to your husband. So there's that reverence there in verse 21 where it says to submit to each other, you know? So I like that you point that out, that submit yourselves to your own husbands.
Right, yeah. And I think this is where a lot of people get upset, because you're like, well, but I'm a woman and I'm just as smart and I'm just as valuable. And you are 100% right. You're just as smart. You're just as valuable. This is a collaboration. This is not a, You know, this is not the headship for a man has everything to do with him submitting himself to God. If a man is submitting himself to God, he's not going to treat you in a way that is going to hurt you or harm you or whatever. Now, does it mean that he's going to be perfect? No. But I tell you this, if you're submitting yourself to God, you're not going to be molesting children. You are not going to be. And if you have a proclivity towards those type of sins, if you are a man that's following after God's own heart, you're going to be getting help through a therapist. You're going to be exposing your sins to the appropriate people to say, hey, I need help here. Like, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm struggling with A or B, you know, like I'm whatever the case may be. This is what you're going to do, but you're not going to abuse your wife and your children or people around you. It's just not going to happen, right? And so the Holy Spirit gives us parameters, right? There's just certain things the Holy Spirit, if you've got the Holy Spirit working and living in you, you're just not going to do. I don't care what you say. You tell me anything. I just don't believe that. And so, you know, I think that, so again, it's not women submit to a man. No, husbands love your wives, and it's wives submit yourselves to your own husband, right? That's so, so very important.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing in their theology too is more domineering. I mean, you have to ask yourself, especially as a husband, are you loving your wife in a sacrificial way? Giving up time, giving up desires, giving up things. It's not about you get to do what you want to do because you're the man of the house. God's trusting you to shepherd that house and lead that woman. And sometimes leading her is delegating and saying, you are smarter than me at this. Finances, I need you to help me balance this book out because I am not equipped to do that. And understanding that though you have the overall say of the home, your wife should want to follow you in that overall say. So you got to ask yourself, am I dominating her or am I loving her? There's a very big difference in what we see in the theology of shiny, happy people and those who would follow Bill Gothard is more of a patriarch type of thing where it's just going to be what the man says and you're expected by an emotional abuse, by an emotional manipulation. You've just known if I don't do this, then I'm going to disobey my parents and that's a sin. Well, it's also a sin to be manipulative and lie. So you kind of got that vicious circle going.
Yeah, this is so true, Kyle. And I think that, you know, there's so many, and what you have to understand is these people are very, very good at twisting scripture to make it sound like that they're doing the right thing.
Right.
And I mean, you could hear from the last episode with Emily how, you know, Gothard would manipulate scripture. And that's what these people do. You know, they'll say things like, well, touch not God's anointed. Like, you're not to touch God's anointed. Let me tell you something about yourself. If you are molesting children, if you are sexually abusing your other women, whatever, you're not God's anointed. Like, you may have been God's anointed, and God may have moved through you at some point, but at some point you decided that you were going to come out of from under the anointing, because the anointing of God breaks the yoke, right? The anointing of the Holy Spirit causes sin to be broken and chains to be broken. So if you are actually binding people in the very chains that you're saying that you're anointed with, dude, sir, ma'am, you need to check your anointing, because you are not anointed with this presence of God. You're anointed with something else, right? It, you know, this is your, and just because you have a position, and remember folks, just because somebody has a position does not mean, or people and that people follow them does not mean they're right. Because you could be sitting in a church right now being abused by somebody and you're like, I know, but a ton of people go here. A lot of people, like, it must be just something wrong with me. There's no way this many people would go here if it's right. People go to places all the time because they don't, one, sometimes they don't see it. They just don't. They don't pick it up. Two, they are, again, we're consumers. So it's like, well, but everybody goes here. This is the popular church to go to, right? Or the pastors have a very charismatic way about them. You know, they're very charismatic people, right? You can't mix charisma with the Holy Spirit. And that, some people do.
Well, that's emotional manipulation.
It is.
It's very easy to mistake being emotionally manipulated for an actual move of God in your life. Because if the church service is bent on the fact that they're going to build on certain moments, they're going to hit on certain moments, they're going to have certain songs that lead to a certain thing, and there's nothing wrong with having a plan. But when your plan is to drive somebody emotionally to make a decision, then that's where you get a lot of mixed theology, bad theology, and you get a lot of emotional manipulation. And then eventually spiritual trauma, because you realize it was a person manipulating you and not necessarily you growing closer to God. And here's why. You liked the cool pastor, but you never found sound doctrine. And that's unfortunately the pandemic that's going on. When you hear about the Hillsongs and the Mars Hills, and it's oh my goodness, I thought I was tied to this movement of God and it was a movement of man. And now I'm left and I don't understand anything about my faith. We talked about Emily last week with Bill Gothard and how when she finally broke from it and she found sound doctrine, she was pretty much astonished and appalled because she realized everything she believed never really made sense biblically. And it was almost having like these new set of eyes put on scripture. That's what happens when you're emotionally manipulated for so long, whether it's legalism, patriarchism, or however you would say that word, patriarchy, whatever it is, domineering, with whether you're under a narcissist who bullies, you don't know that you're in it because you've been emotionally manipulated to feel bad when you go against that authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That is so true. And, you know, another one of their thing is homeschooling, which I don't have any problem with homeschooling. I think homeschooling is good as long as, you know, one, homeschooling has to be a good education. Like you are not doing your kid a favor if you're homeschooling and don't get mad at me here because I can only imagine.
Is this for off the record, Kevin, or is this
No, we're thinking out loud right now, bro.
Oh yeah.
But homeschool, I have nothing wrong with homeschool at all. I think it is fantastic. But what I do think is that a lot of homeschool curriculums are not adequate to prep your child for the real world and for college and the way, and please don't send me angry emails. I understand that there are curriculums out there that are really good. And some of them, I would argue, might be better than what you would get in a secular public school. Right. So please, I understand that there's that out there, but there's this group of Christians where it's like, it doesn't matter what kind of education my kid gets, just as long as they're in a Christian environment, you know? And what you do is you do a disservice to your child, because then your child, and you have to know your child. You know, is your child the kind of child that can be cooped up in a home all day, every day, can't go to sport, can't do sports because they have got to be a part of some type of a actual entity to be a part of sports, unless they're going to do like city sports, stuff like that, or get on a special league, right? It's like, can my kid get well adjusted, right? And I understand, look, we can make sports God as well. I understand that. But one thing about sports is sports teaches kids lessons that sometimes parents, you can talk to your blue in the face and sports will actually teach those lessons because it teaches discipline. It helps kids to understand a lot of things. So, is my child the type of child that could be at home 24/7 pretty much, never go out? You know, and I know it sounds, I understand you guys go out sometimes. Like, thanks for letting us out, Paul. I know that they're, you know, I'm not saying it in the sense that, you know, these kids never go anywhere, but sometimes they're socially awkward. Why? Because they were meant to be around people. And if they're not, now some kids are super independent and man, your child will excel and exceed. That's great. But you have to know your children. There shouldn't be homeschool is the best thing across the board. No, it is some kids, it's not going to be good for their mental health. Like, I watched the kids through the pandemic. Look at how it has affected our kids. I look at my own youngest daughter. And going through the pandemic, it was horrible for her mental health, you know, to be at home all of that time.
Well, and you've got to, again, we're talking about emotionally manipulating. And you think about, like, what are some of the signs that you're being led through abuse, right? And one of those signs really is a dictatorship. I think sometimes, especially when you look at the Duggars or you look at certain families and certain churches, it's not homeschooling for the sake of it's just better for our kids. It's homeschooling for the sake of we're going to control the narrative over our kids' lives. And that's the fact behind it, whether Netflix would want to reveal that or not. And so you got to be kind of careful with that. I mean, I love homeschooling. I never said I would. I remember when my daughters were going to start homeschooling and I was so scared that they were going to be socially awkward. And because that's all I'd experienced from homeschooling kids and not street smart, but book smart. And I mean, my mother-in-law and my wife proved me wrong. And it's exactly for what you said, Kevin. You have a retired teacher and a current teacher who sifted through curriculum, who made sure to not keep everything inside, but to go outside, to go to the field trips and do things and be with people, you know. And my girls are advanced because of that. Not only are they advanced educationally, but they aren't socially awkward. In fact, they're probably a little too social. And so you know, again, it's all behind why are you doing what you're doing? And when you're trying to dominate, you're trying to control, you're trying to make sure that you're manipulating somebody in the process, well, how can you do that? Control the narrative, control the environment. Well, how can I do that? Well, make sure that they're not going anywhere for too long, you know? And unfortunately, we saw that with kids in COVID. They were home all day and suicide rates went up, anxiety rates went up. Why? Because they didn't get an escape from that harsh reality that they were being dominated, they were being manipulated, they were being abused. And you can't escape that when you're stuck home for 24/7. So,
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of times when Christians see these type of shows, you know, it's like, how do we respond? Like, how am I supposed to look at it? You know, one, you have to understand that, you know, anytime a secular venue is going to talk about Christianity, you're not going to get the complete story, right? You're just not. Like, it's going to be slanted to in a certain way. And, you know, while there was a lot of good that came out of this docuseries, because it really was, I mean, it exposed a lot of things, and I think it needed to happen. You know, as you get later on in the episodes, and even the stuff with Josh Duggar, which was the eldest son of Jim Bob and Michelle, who is in jail currently because of child pornography, you know, and which I believe is a direct result of his some of his upbringing and some of his teaching and being in a culture where that stuff is allowed. Right. You can't tell me that people don't know that Bill Gothard's like that. They've been going there. You know, he's got his harem of girls. He's, you know, they call him the Gothard girls and all of this kind of stuff. Like, you just know that these are girls that he's picked out and that he's grooming and that he's messing around with. That is sick. And for you to know that and for you to just be OK with that, whoever is in this cult or whoever has been in this cult, and you knew this was happening and you never brought this to light, you realize the blood of these people are going to be on your hands too, because you never spoke up for the weak. You didn't speak up for the vulnerable. You didn't speak up for those that maybe felt like they couldn't speak up for themselves. But yet you allowed this to go on, including Jim Bob Duggar, right? Like, shame on you, Jim Bob, if you knew this was going on and you didn't say anything. Shame on you if you knew that your son was doing these things that he shouldn't have been doing and you tried to cover it up. Shame on you. Like, you have never heard me on this show, because I am not into that. I've never on this show really went into like moral failures. I'm not interested in that. There are a lot of shows out there, even on YouTube, that, hey, a pastor has a moral failing, they're the first ones behind the mic to talk about it. I'm not interested in that, because you know what? The old saying goes, there but for the grace of God go I, something like that, right? Look, I'm not interested in trying to, you know, but if I know that you're doing something, I'm going to tell you right now, if I know that you're doing something illegal and you're doing it to some child, or you're doing it and people don't know, I'm going to expose you. Like, it's happening, because I'm not going, like, you, if it's illegal, it's illegal, right? And we're not covering things up, because not only does the person that is being harmed need to be free, but you also need to be free, right? I don't think at 5 years old, you're like, hey, I want to grow up and be a pedophile, right? No one does that, right? Something has happened. Something has flipped, and you need help, right? But, you know, when you look at these type of documentaries, you go, well, how should Christians respond? And what I was saying, I didn't get a finish because I kind of got derailed there. But, you know, towards the end of the documentary, you know, it really became a hit piece on conservative Christianity. Really did. Like it, and this is what happens, even with the Hillsong documentary. I mean, these are hit pieces on conservative Christianity. The thing is, true biblical conservative Christianity is amazing. The fundamentalist cult Christianity is awful. Like that's, you know, but if you are a person and you're not a Christian and you're just watching it, you throw out the baby with the bathwater. You go, well, that's why I don't do this anything with Christians. They're all hypocrites. They all do this stuff. They all act like they're a certain way. And then you turn around, you come to find out they're pedophiles, right? That's, you know, but that's not true Christianity. And I would encourage you, if you've watched that show and you're not a Christian, I encourage you to actually read the Bible for yourself. I actually encourage you to understand what submission actually means in the Bible, and that it's not some chauvinistic, sexist 1930s thing that's going on, right? You know, Jesus actually elevated women in the scripture. Like, if you understood the history and the time and the culture of that day, and then the radical things that Jesus did to elevate women, to take the shame and the guilt off of women. I mean, I think about what he did with the woman that was caught in adultery. Like, read that story. And tell me that God was not for those who were the ones that were being accused. And no, did he allow their sin to continue and say, oh yeah, just go ahead and find you another dude? No, he didn't say that. He said, go and sin no more, right? So there's so much grace, there's so much beauty in the actual gospel, not what Bill Gothard's talking about.
No, and that's how we need to respond. I mean, I think our first response, or even hearing stuff like this, when we hear about huge Christian families like that are in the media that have failures, or pastors who have failures, or churches who have had some huge scandal happen. Well, first off, I think it's important that we stop putting people on a pedestal that only God should be on. Yep, once we do absolutely. That, it'd be easier for us to hear about something like that and go, man, that stinks, you know, and not be so angry and bitter right away. Secondly, the go and sin no more part from Jesus, I think we need to have that same process of, well, Jesus couldn't say that to her until he showed her the way. Like, he sat down, he talked to her, he became the way for her type of thing. And I think we have to do the same thing. We have to understand that pastors are still people, husbands and wives are still people. And so when they fall, when they mess up, who are going to be the ones that come alongside them and say, okay, you messed up. The accountability part's here. The exposure part's here. But now, how are we going to get you to a redemptive purpose and go and sin no more in this way and have a life and have a purpose beyond this? And I think that's something that we have to understand, is if we're allowed to confess and we're allowed to get help, then guys like Carl Lentz and guys like, you know, anybody that we can mention on this show who have had a failure, Brian Houston, whatever that, you know, you would say that is, they need an opportunity to confess and get help and then be reestablished in whatever capacity they're allowed to be reestablished in. Because we have to keep in mind that it's still God's kingdom. It was never Brian's. It was never Carl's. It was never Mark Driscoll's. It was never Bill Gothard's. They've gotten things wrong, But Jesus came to the religious leaders of his time. The whole Sermon on the Mount was, here's how to do what I want you to do, but I need you to do it right. Because if you think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were fasting and stuff like Jesus wanted them to do, but they were doing it for man's affirmation. And so Jesus was saying, listen, you're doing what I want you to do, but you're not doing it right. And so I think in the same way, Jesus would love for his church to go global. He would love for the multitudes to come in. But I think he would also look at it and go, but you're doing it the wrong way and you're not doing it for me. And so he would correct that and set them on the right path. I think we have to do that as a church, as believers, find a way. Some of us, all we can do is pray for them, but the prayers of the righteous will avail much. But then there's some of us who are closer to those circles that can lend a hand and help. And when we do have the opportunity to do that, we need to do that. Local pastors who fall, what local pastors are getting besides them and saying, hey, listen, I know the community doesn't like you right now, but we're willing to counsel you through this and get you back in right standing with God and with people, right? Like that kind of stuff. I would love to see more of that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree with that 100%. And one of the things that Kyle said, I think is really important is, you know, don't follow the man or the woman, whoever it is, follow Christ. And I think that's a lot of what we see when it comes to all of these big ministries. People, they, you know, it's like the pastor is the ministry. So it's like, well, Stephen Furtick is he is the ministry, or Mike Todd is the ministry, or, you know, whoever it is.
It's scary because I think in that case, the personality is the spirit.
Right. Yeah.
Like you're there for the personality, and
yep.
It's hard then, because then you get confused on what's the spirit of God and what's the emotional manipulation.
Yep. Yep. And that's, you know, if you watch a little bit of the Hillsong documentary, you hear people saying, and you see them saying, like, man, Carl was just, he was just so mesmerizing. Like, you, when you listen to him talk and just the way he was and his personality, it just draws you in. And all, like, guys, remember, this is a pastor. He is to watch out for your soul, preach the good news of the gospel. When we talk about people like the old, like Martin Luther and some of the people from you, that's not what you hear. You don't hear things like, oh, he was just so charismatic and he was just so, just mesmerized. Like, no, people were mesmerized by the word. Like, you know, Oswald Chambers, I mean, some of these people who were deeply, I mean, there are people who, you know, they spent hours and hours in prayer on their face before God. Like, they were not, this was not like, you know, celebrity pastors getting out of Bentleys and, you know, hanging out with celebrities and all like that. That's just not, you know, but because we're consumers, that catches our attention. And I think we just have to be careful. Are we going to the church for our pastor's personality, or are we going to hear the word of God? Because the word of God is, it's no respecter of persons. It doesn't have a personality. It doesn't, like, that's like, and I, it, it's God. But what I'm saying is, it just, it doesn't have this swagger to it, right? Like, there's no swagger. It's just the word. And I think we have to get back to that being okay. And just that. Right. Like, it's anyways. But so when so how do we respond as Christians in our last few minutes here? Take the good, leave the bad. Right. There was some good stuff in there that it's like, wow, we needed to know that. Wow. He needed to be exposed, this Bill Gothard and this, you know, all these other people. Right. They need to be. Right. So but then leave the bad. Leave the, oh, conservative Christianity sucks and look at these are the fundamentalist nutcases that are, you know, that are out here and supporting making sure that abortions don't happen. Right. And they're pro-life, you know, that, you know, they just got a little wild at some point there where it's like, that's not what we need to take. So just leave the bad and then consider the source. Anytime you're listening to something or watching something, consider the people who are actually putting it out. Consider the source, right? You know, like it's you know, and if it's a secularized, humanistic, you know, ESG loving company, do you think they really care about Christianity and making Christianity look the way it's supposed to? They don't care. What they care about is money. That's what they care about. And so, you know, consider the source. And then also realize, and we've kind of touched on this before, is that churches are made up of humans, right? No one's a god inside of a local church. Like, there's no immortal being that is behind the pulpit, right? These are people who felt a call to ministry. And, you know, for those that went astray and went wayward, they're just people who, you know, for whatever reason, they're not who they're supposed to be now, right? They've stepped away. They've allowed the things of the world to infiltrate their lives. And so you just have to understand that there are some things we take, some things we leave. Right. And so I hope this has been a help. I hope that you guys understand a little bit more about the Duggar theology, understand a little bit more how we, as we see things like this, we should respond. And I am so grateful that you guys are here every week and that you guys are engaged. And we want to hear from you. We've over 100 shows now. I want to hear from you. If you've never reached out to us, would you do me a favor and just drop us a line, 248-301-2010, 248-301-2010. Just say hello. Say, hey, I like the show. I don't like the show, whatever. I just want your feedback. Kyle wants your feedback. Our team wants your feedback. And so if you would do that for us, that would be awesome. I just want to hear from you guys. Those of you who have we have so many listeners, and the number of messages that we get versus the listeners that we have, is there's quite a big chasm there. So I know that there's a lot of you who just haven't taken the couple minutes to send us a line. Why don't you do that this time, 248-301-2010, 248-301-2010, and we would love to hear from you. And of course, rate us, review us. Again, that rating helps so much. If you just do that on Apple Podcasts, it's specific, you know, especially do that. Leave us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling generous, leave us a review there as well. It takes less than a minute. Like, it's so easy. And don't forget our other show, Off the Record. And so next Wednesday, so you're listening to this show now, if you're listening to it when it comes out, you will get Off the Record next week. So make sure you tune into that, have some laughs, and then come back over here the following week for our time together. All righty. We love you guys. God bless you. We will see you next time.